Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You're listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This week we're going to be looking at the Haftarah of Parshas Bamidbar. It is found to be the total Perek Beis of Sefer Hosheah. Hosheah is the first of what's called the Treasar. Treasar are the what's called the minor prophets. Minor not because of their stature, but minor because their books are shorter and therefore put into one bigger book called the Treasar. Hosheah is the first of those minor prophets. And this is the second chapter of Sefer Hosheah. To understand this Haftarah, you need to understand the first parak of Hosheah, which is a very short parak in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Hosheah ben Ba'eri, who is a prophet in the north of Israel during the times of Yerobam ben Yoash, who is the second, Yerobam the second, who is the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, a time of great prosperity. Following his reign, there's going to be a consistent revolving door of kings until the ultimate Golus, the exile of the northern kingdom under the Assyrians. But during the times of Yerovam and Yoash, it is a successful time as Aram is falling in the kingdom in the north. Now, just to understand this, Hashem is very dissatisfied with the material success of Israel, has led to them completely rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem wants to make this patently clear to the Nevi'im. So he turns to Hosheah, who is a representative of Israel and Hashem's representative to them, and says, I want you to marry this Aisha Zanunim. I want you to marry this woman who is who got flexible relationships, who doesn't isn't sticking with her relationships. I want you to marry this lady. And then it describes how he has three children, a son who is told to call Yisrael, which is the area of Jezreel, which is going to be given as into exile. The second is a daughter called Lo Ruchama, I will not have mercy on, and the third is a son called Lo Yami, not my son. All very negative sounds and negative ideas. And there's a whole debate in the Mepharshim, did this really happen? Was Hashem really telling him to marry a person who was an Asher synonym? Is this figurative? Is this metaphoric? But nonetheless, whatever what really actually happened, the point of it here is that Hosheah is put in the predicament of Hashem himself. He now has married somebody, he's committed to somebody, he's had children to somebody, and this woman is not faithful. This person is as she was not before, she's not now, she's committed to other people, and the relationship is very meaningless on her front. How does he deal with her? You can't just throw her out. You can't just get divorced. There's children involved. There's a relationship, and she's misguided. But how can we come to a place of terms? How can we come to a place of reestablishing that relationship? Is there space to reestablish that relationship? And that's where our parak picks up from. So the first three psukim from Beis Aleph to Gimel, we hear where it describes that a beautiful vision of the future. Israel will be like the sea of the sand. And instead of saying loyami, they're going to say b'nei kel chai. These are my children. This is my nation. And all the children of Judea and the children of Israel are going to come together, and they will all become one big family. Very beautiful vision, which is being described now. This seems to be repatriation, the bringing together of the terrible vision of the first three children of the Asher synonym in the first parak. But how could it get you? How did this happen so fast? So the Malbim very creatively explains that in fact this is the verse this is the voice of Hosheah himself. This is a dialogue. At this point in time, Hosheah, having experienced this, having known that what it is to love and loss and have lost, he is now asking Hashem, please bring them back, bring them home, allow this to be the opportunity. This woman he married called Gomer. That he says, bring her back, bring the nation of Israel as the metaphor over here back, let them bring him back to the future. And Hashem responds with the rejoinder, which is a very harsh rejoinder from Pasuk Dalet to Pasuk Tezov, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that may be true, but Rivu be'imchen Rivu ki hi lo yishtiva no hi lo yisha. You may be my children, but she's not my wife. I accept you as children, but I cannot accept her as a wife because of her conduct. Because of the way, until very graphic, take away her adulterers. She's adulterating, and you're asking me to take her back. This doesn't work. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes, and this is again the metaphor is husband to wife over here. He says, you know what? He says, she's going to be afshitena aruma. She has to be stripped of all her clothing. She needs to go back to that purity before all the complexity she brought into her life. I'm not going to have mercy on the children. Why? Because she betrayed me. I gave her everything. I gave her all this, and it didn't help. And in fact, that's what he says. Ki amra, she says in Pasuk Zayin, She went after all these suitors, all these other alternative, you know, nations and idol worship, because she felt that it would be, Israel felt that it would be good for her, that she should get food, she'd get sustenance, these other gods would provide for her. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to say that I'm going to pave your path with sirim, with thorns and thistles to prevent you getting there, but it's still not going to help. And then Hashem explains, he says, she doesn't understand that I was the one supplying her. I gave her the credit card. I gave her everything, and yet she thought it was her adulterers who were giving her everything. It was me, myself. And so therefore Hashem says, my only alternative is to take that all away, is to bring that or take that all away for her, so she can no longer celebrate her pagan orgies. She can no longer go out and celebrate with these festivals with all of her deities that she accepted upon herself as well. And I'm going to have to take away everything that she had. And that's sort of the idea of the punishment of the goddess as well. Very, very powerful description. It sounds like, as the Malbim points out, there's a number of steps that Hashem is taking in order to, so to speak, re-educate, bring this awareness to this adulterating nation, to the nation of Israel. And in the end, after having seen this, it doesn't work. You know, putting the thorns in the way, like sort of putting the gates there, taking away the food, doesn't, taking away all the success, doesn't necessarily bring about the requisite self-reflection and introspection. Then the last section over here is Pasuk Tes Zayin, Techov Beis, over here where Hashem says, Lachein ani anachim mefateh v'alachtia b'amibar v'dibarti alibo. So I'm going to take her out to a place of the desert, and I'm going to speak to her heart. V'nosati las karmea misham, I'm going to give her vineyards again, v'es emech ochor lefetach tikva, and I'll give her this, what was a blocked up valley, into the gateway of hope. And then we're going to talk about Kimeni Urea, the days of youth, k'yom anosav eretz Yisraim. And we're going to talk about the times where we first consummated our marriage, where Hashem took the nation of Israel out as a damsel from in distress from Egypt, and in that time, then she'll turn back to me. At that point, she'll now refer to me as a husband. It's not just a relationship of fly by night, and she's going to remove the names of these other gods from her mouth, and she's going to renew the covenant, going back to that initial point as well. So Hashem says it seems like all the other interventions didn't work until they go back to this initial point. It's interesting, in marriage, John and Julie Gottman, who are the world famous marriage therapists, talk about couples that are in difficult situations. And a lot of times rehabilitation is possible if, when they asked about how they met, where they first met each other, is that place sacred? Is that place still happy? Is that place still good? Or is the cynicism and the sarcasm infected and poisoned even that moment as well? If that place of their meeting is still sacred, it's still special, but there's lots of other difficult things that happen in between, there's rehabilitation which is possible. If even that has been poisoned, it's very hard to go back to that. Hashem says, I'm going back to the place of Lechtech Acharab Amibar. You walked after me in the desert, and Israel's reminded of the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why this is obviously the Haftarah of Bamidbar, because this is the time when they were in the desert. This is the time of being in that desolate place where it was just us and Hashem. It was this honeymoon of a space where we committed ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a very beautiful point over here is that there seems to be this new covenant which is being consecrated here, where it's described by Yamahu im chayas hasadev im ofa shamayim v'rim esav adama v'kesh esocher v'yamuchav v'eshpar min aretz. There's sort of natures in synthesis and equilibrium, and there's no longer going to be war. It sounds like this beautiful ideal place is that Hashem says, if you go back and if we can figure out that relationship back again in the way it should be, at that point in time there will be equilibrium in the world as well. And then famously three psukim which are said when a man, well, actually two psukim, but three statements that Hashem makes. And every man says this when they put on their tefillin shel yad, when they put the straps around the center finger, they wrap it three times like three rings, and they say the following words. Ve'erastich li le'olam. Hashem says to us, I will betroth you forever. Ve'erastich li betzedek uv'mishpat uv'chesed rachim. I will betroth you with justice and righteousness, and with kindness and with mercy. Ve'erastich li be'emunah v'yadatas Hashem. And I will re-betroth you with faithfulness, and you will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are there three? The Radak explains that this relates to the three exiles, the exile in Egypt, the exile after the first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the exile after the second Beis HaMikdash, which we're still in today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring you back from all three of those as well. And that's why the end of the Torah is is well, actually this is what, where the Haftarah ends, but the end of the parak goes on to describe this again about the flourishing and the fertile nature of success again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reestablishes that relationship, the ecosystem, the equilibrium, which was meant to be in the first place as well. Very, very powerful idea. And it's important to remember who's talking to who. These ideas of betrothal is Hashem saying it to the nation of Israel. Hashem says, I really want you. I just need you to want me. If you want me again, if we can go back to that moment where it all started, if we can go back to that by Midbar and understand why it's so important, then I will recommit myself to you. We'll start again. And this is the opportunity of starting again. This is the message of Hashem. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.